والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وجعلنا بعضكم لبعض فتنة أتصبرون وكان ربك بصيرا. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم واعلموا أن الله يحول بين المرء وقلبه وأنه إليه تحشرون. واتقوا فتنة لا تصيبن الذين ظلموا منكم خاصة واعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: ستكون فتنة صماء بكماء عمياء، من أشرف لها استشرفت له، وإشراف اللسان فيها كوقوع السيف، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it is no secret that the planet has been gripped, rocked and plagued by turmoil, turbulence, mayhem, anarchy. Doom and gloom has covered the horizons. Despondency has practically seized the heart of every human. The vessel of humanity, if I may coin the phrase, is nudging against one iceberg after another. Political, social, economical, religious and otherwise. Every sane human, with no exception, regardless of his faith or denomination, is appalled by the carnage and the brutality that is playing out in the world. As Muslims, we are also appalled by what happens on the earth. But it is no surprise to us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spelled out the details 14 centuries ago. And he did not only spell it out, he equally provided us with the necessary immunization so we may inoculate ourselves, so that we may develop the sense of resistance to combat those fitnas. Imam Ahmad makes mention of the narration recorded by Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu. He says, "Kunna ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safarin." We embarked on a journey with the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Fanazalna manzila," we halted at a location. "Faminna man yadribu khiba'ahu," some of us were busy erecting a tent, others were attending to other chores. When an announcer announced, a proclaimer proclaimed, "As-salatu jami'a," it is time for congregational prayer. In essence, a message to converge and assemble and congregate. "Fantahaytu ilayhi," I swiftly made my way to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Wahuwa yakhtubu an-nasa," he was delivering a sermon to those present, in which he said, "Innahu lam yakun nabiyyun qabli," there was no prophet that preceded me, "illa kana haqqan alayhi," but that it was mandatory upon him, "an yadulla ummatahu ala ma ya'lamuhu khayran lahum," to guide, steer and navigate his nation to every good and virtue. "Wayunziruhum ma ya'lamuhu sharran lahum," and to warn and caution his nation against every trial, every challenge and every evil. "Ala wa inna afiyata hadhihi al-umma fi awwaliha." And then he said the statement, "Remember the good days of this ummah, the glory of this ummah would be in its early days, in its beginning stages, in its infancy moments." The glory of this ummah at that time was such a level, my brothers and sisters, that Huzaifa ibn Yaman radiyallahu anhu mentions, the hadith is in Bukhari, "The environment was so pure, clean and pristine that I could enter into a transaction with anyone and everyone. If it was a believer, his faith wouldn't allow him to speak a lie. And if it was a disbeliever, society wouldn't allow him to speak a lie." Abu Sufyan, the hadith is in Bukhari, he was summoned by Hiraql. He wasn't a believer at that time. And he was being interviewed about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He categorically, emphatically, explicitly said, I had an agenda. I wanted to be biased and prejudiced. And I wanted to tarnish the reputation of the paragon of Allah's creation. I was not in harmony. We couldn't see eye to eye. Wallahi lawla al-haya. Wallah, this is amazing, these words. But I was at the crossroads. Either I speak ill of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the king and the emperor will not be impressed, but then I will have to live with the stigma of a liar which I couldn't possibly digest. I could not imagine and digest the blemish of being a liar. Wallahi lawla al-haya. If it wasn't for the fear that society would soil my name as a liar, لَكَذِبْتُ عَنْهُ, I would have blatantly spoken ill against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the interview began, and I don't want to digress into the interview. And he said, I kept it as candid and as accurate and as correct as possible. But due to the agenda within me, I was waiting for a niche to exploit and to adulterate the facts. And today you can see, and you know, printed media and journalism and sensationalization. Any man reading paper and media would know what I am speaking about. So here comes the question, هَلْ يَغْدِرْ? Does the man Muhammad ever perpetrate deceit, or does he deceive his people? And Abu Sufyan said the correct answer was that he doesn't deceive. But I wanted to sensationalize it. So I said, hang on, he hasn't yet deceived. Heaven knows what the future holds. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. When he walked out, he said, لَقَدْ أَمِرَ أَمْرُ بْنُ أَبِي كَبْشَ حَتَّى يَخَافَهُ مَلِكُ بَنِ الْأَصْفَرِ. Indeed, the faith of Muhammad has prospered that even the Roman emperors are trembling in their boots. When Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf passed away, radiyallahu anhu wa arda, his body was carried by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiyallahu anhu. His funeral prayer was led by Uthman bin Affan, radiyallahu anhu. Shayya'ahu Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he was lowered into the grave by none other than Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiyallahu anhu. And Ali, radiyallahu anhu, paid tribute to him, and he lauded him. And amongst the many things he said at his funeral, he said, أَدْرَقْتَ صَفْوَهَا سَبَقْتَ زَيْفَهَا يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهِ. Oh, Abdul Rahman, I am green with envy for you. You've seen the glory of this ummah. You were rescued from the turmoil of this ummah. May Allah shower your soul with perpetual blessings. You've seen the great days. When I say great days, my brothers, I'm not suggesting that there were no challenges. But it was that era where the pain of one was literally the pain of others. So here Umar ibn Khattab is sitting in Medina. Amr ibn Aas is in the seat of Egypt. There is drought and famine that has gripped the Madianites. Umar radiallahu anhu sends one letter to Egypt. Ila Amr ibn Aas. Amma ba'd. Oh, when I read this, my hair stood up. He said, فَإِنَّكَ لَا تُبَالِي فَإِنَّكَ لَا تُبَالِي إِذَا شَبِعْتَ أَنْتَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ أَنْ أُهْلَكَ أَنَا وَمَنْ مَعِي فَيَا غَوْثَا فَيَا غَوْثَا. He said, oh Amr, you are sitting soft. Your belly is satiated. Your thirst is quenched. You have amenities and luxuries around you. You've been pampered by all these embellishments. It doesn't look like you are concerned about myself and my fellow colleagues. Do assist, do assist. When Sayyidina Umar receives this letter, he trembles. You and I can see carnage. You and I can see brutality. Leave anything else. Our program of going to a club and a pub is not altered. He says, Labbaik, faya labbaik. Oh, what beautiful words. Oh, Umar, I have responded. Your words have not fallen on deaf ears. وَقَدْ بَعَثْتُ إِلَيْكَ بِعِيرٍ. I've dispatched a caravan of train, a train of camels. The first of which will be in Medina and the last will still be in Egypt. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Today when a place is rocked with a crisis, then we hear these people making commitments of great chunks of wealth that will come in, making great pledges. Before that wealth comes in, that location is rocked with a second tragedy. The first funds haven't come in, that place has become volatile for the second time. Ala wa inna ghafiyata hadhihi al-umma fi awwaliha, the glory of this ummah would be in its beginning stages. Wa sayusibu akhiruha bala'un wa fitanun. And those who are going to live to see the latter part, tell them to brace themselves for some doom and gloom that inevitably is going to face them. Taji'ul fitna. My Nabi said a fitna will come. It will grip an individual. It will consume his intellect. فَيَقُولُ هَذِهِ مُهْلِكَتِي. He will say, oh my Lord, I am aging by the minute. Allah, this is draining me on every front. My resources are exhausted. It's depleted. ثُمَّ تَنْكَشِفْ. After a period of time, grappling with that difficulty, he'll make his way through. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah hasn't promised that He would save a believer from the challenges of this world. But Allah has promised by virtue of established faith, Allah will give him strength in those difficulties. ثُمَّ تَنْكَشِفْ. There will be the slight opening, there'll be a gap, there'll be a breather. Just when he's about to sigh with relief, تَجِيءُ الْفِتْنَةِ. The Prophet ﷺ says the second fitna will grip him. Oh my Allah, this is more severe than the first one. I thought I developed heart problems. I had cardiac failure. I became diabetic. I became a chronic patient due to the first situation. Let me contextualize it. We're in a global village. Your challenges are no different to me on the continent of Africa. So the first fitna, by way of example, a man discovers that his son is possessed by a demon. He's got erratic behavior. The shenanigans is out of control. He's really causing chaos and mayhem at house. The man is desperate, going from one traditional healer to another, from one scholar to another. Finally, he sees some hope and some light at the end of the tunnel. And just when he comes out of this year, news reaches him that his second son has fallen prey to the temptation of drugs and now he's sitting in some rehab, or unfortunately he's peddling substance abuse. Oh my Allah, this is really eating me up by the minute and the second. Again, the Nabi of Allah says it will toll on him, it will eat on him, it will consume him. Then there will come again an opening. And just when there comes the opening, then the third fitna will come and the doorbell rings, and I'm contextualizing it in my own words. And what is it? His daughter with three kids, the marriage has broken up because the son-in-law is guilty of infidelity. And the Nabi of Allah said, the fitna will continue. But more challenging than that fitna is, you would be tempted to forsake your iman the most. So one is dealing with this. But it will take such a toll on you that anybody who offers you any support, rescue, even if it means momentarily, you will embrace it without realizing the implications of what you do and say. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. Offer him, dangle a candy before him, and that's the end of Islam in his life. Imam Hakim makes mention of the narration. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu records it. He mentions it. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Where the Quran prophesizes the time where scores and multitudes of people will enter into Islam. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَيَخْرُجُنَّ مِنْهُ أَفْوَاجًا كَمَا دَخَلُوا فِيهِ أَفْوَاجًا. I swear by Allah, just as people will enter Islam in droves and scores and multitudes, they will also exit Islam in those same numbers. Nu'aym ibn Hammad makes mention of it in Kitab al-Fitan. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu said, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. A time is to come. يَتَمَنَّ الرَّجُلُ ذُو الشَّرَفِ وَالْمَالِ وَالْوَلَدِ A man with health, wealth, fame, economic muscle, financial stability, all going good for this man, he would become the most desirous and envious of death. Why? مِمَّا يَرَى مِنَ الْبَلَى مِنْ وُلَاتِهِمْ. Because of the tyranny, the oppression, the exploitation of the rulers, the monarchs, the autocrats and the dogmatic rulers of the time. It would become too difficult for him to see this, he would become envious of death. Nu'aym ibn Hammad also mentions in Kitab al-Fitan, reference to Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, يَتَمَنَّى فِيهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. A believer will desire, لَوْ أَنَّهُ فِي فُلْكٍ مَشْحُونٍ هُوَ وَأَهْلُهُ. I wish I can board a vessel and float in the water, and he would despise returning to earth, مِمَّا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْبَلَىٰ, due to the extreme tyranny that would grip the face of this earth. The hadith I quoted in the beginning, Imam Abu Dawud records it, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu mentions it, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَتَكُونُ فِتْنَا, there will be such types of trials and fitna, Samma bakma amya, blind, deaf and dumb. That's the description, the prophetic description. The scholars of hadith say, بِإِعْتِبَارِ أَصْحَابِهَا, the fitna per se will not be blind, deaf and dumb, but it will leave its victim blind, deaf and dumb. Visually impaired. Their hearing ability will be seized. What is meant? They would have no idea how to navigate. Furthermore, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِشْرَافُ اللِّسَانِ مَنْ أَشْرَفَ لَهَا. My words. When these fitnas will come and surface, whoever will probe it, whoever will explore it, whoever will inch close to it, it will just swallow him in. So the closer you come, you increase your vulnerability. You elevate the chances and you become more susceptible to the crime. If you eavesdrop, it will just swallow you in. There was a sister that rang me up and she said, my son unfortunately had taken to drugs and to intoxicants. And we had a bad period and we took him to rehab and we tried to stabilize and rehabilitate him. Back and forward, somewhat he stabilized. One day my husband was going through his cupboard and he observed some powder in the cupboard. So driven by curiosity that, you know, these kids have this fantasy of these powders and these pills that they pop. How bad can it be? Man ashrafa laha, he who peeps, he who gets close to it. So my husband said, let me taste it. And then she broke down. I said, sister, what has happened? She said, my son is now clean and my husband is now an addict. And my husband is a man of nobility and social standing. We cannot subject him to the places where we had to send our son to. In Fathul Bari, in the 13th volume on page 52, I read this myself and you can reference it according to the copy that I had. There is a quotation there mentioned of Ibn Uyayna on the strength of Khalaf ibn Hawshab. He says, كانوا يستحبون أن يتمثلوا بهذه الأبيات عند الفتن. That Imra al-Qais, those who read Arabic would know who I'm referring to. There was one poem of his and the pious used to read these couplets at the time of fitna. And Khalaf ibn Hawshab, who was a person who had narrated from many tabi'een, he says, we used to encourage people to understand the depths of this poetry and relate it to the times of fitna. Al-harbu awwalu ma takunu fitya, tas'a bi zinatiha li kulli jahuli, hatta idha ishtagalat wa shabba dhiramuha, wallat ajuzan ghayra dhati halili, shamta'a yunkaru lawnuha wa taghayyarat, makruhatan lishammi wattaqbili. The whole write-up is there, is very academic and very, very philosophical and intricate. But suffice to say, just to draw it close to understanding, that initially battle, fitna is like battle. When something new hits the market, everybody is curious. Let's get to know what's it all about. Al-harbu awwalu ma takunu fitya. It's young, it's attractive, it's a bride, propose, get up close. Hatta idha ishtagalat wa shabba dhiramuha. But when you go onto that particular app, and you start searching and you go deep in and it swallows you, you realize that no, this is not a young, beautiful, attractive bride, a seductive girl. This is an old age, frail woman. Shamta, black and white hair mixed. Yunkaru lawnuha, you despise her complexion. مكروهة للشم والتقبيل. You wouldn't want to spend a moment in seclusion with her. So fitna in the beginning attracts you like a young, beautiful, you know, attractive bride. But as you get close up, you realize what is the condition. وَسَيُصِيبُ آخِرُهَا بَلَاءٌ وَفِتَنٌ. The latter part of this ummah will be gripped. Neither the economists nor the religious, nobody is predicting a brighter future tomorrow. Ask the economists, ask the religious, nobody is telling you tomorrow is better. In Bukhari Sharif, the narration is there, Zubair ibn Adi said, شَكَوْنَا إِلَىٰ أَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ مَا نَلْقَى مِنَ الْحَجَّاجِ. When we looked at the tyranny and the oppression of Hajjaj, we just didn't know how to reconcile with this. So we went to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu and we said, what is all this happening on this earth? And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said, Isbiru, hang on folks, persevere. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهُ أَشَرُّ مِنْهُ حَتَّى تَلْقَوْ رَبَّكُمْ سَمِعْتُهُ مِنْ نَبِيِّكُمْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I promise you, as challenging, as daunting as today is, it is better than tomorrow. As bleak as today is, it is better than tomorrow. Academically, in Fathul Bari, I was blown away by this write-up that the scholars of hadith have debated this point. وَقَدْ اسْتَشْكَلَ هَذَا الْإِطْلَاقِ مَعَ أَنَّ بَعْضَ الْأَزْمِنَةِ تَكُونُ فِي الشَّرِّ دُونَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهَا. It was such an amazing write-up. And really, we need to read our text. We need to access our books. We need to go and tap into our archives and see the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the scholars of hadith find it difficult to reconcile with the generalization, al-itlaq, the generalization that has been pronounced in this hadith. The hadith says every subsequent error would be more wicked than the previous error. Whereas the error of Hajjaj was riddled with tyranny, but was followed by the error of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was an error of peace and justice. So how do we reconcile? And subhanallah, wa ajaba ba'duhum bi-anna asra al-hajjaj kana fihi kathirun min as-sahaba. And the answer to this apparent dichotomy is, the apparent contradiction is, that as challenging as the era of Hajjaj was, it was rich with Sahaba. And an era in which Sahaba are alive, without doubt, is a greater era than a period in which there are less Sahaba. So as turbulent as the period were, you could meet a veteran of Badr, you could meet a participant of Uhud, you could nudge a man who swore the allegiance at Bay'atul Ridwan, you could meet all these great, great luminaries, legends and august humans. But as time moved on, and this is the challenge of today, that apart from the doom and gloom, those that can steer this ummah have been reduced to few numbers. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, every era that is to come is worse than the previous era. لَا أَعْنِي أَمِيرًا خَيْرًا مِّنْ أَمِيرٍ وَلَا عَامًا خَيْرًا مِّنْ عَامٍ وَلَكِنْ عُلَمَاؤُكُمْ وَفُقَهَاؤُكُمْ يَذْهَبُونَ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُونَ مِنْهُمْ خَلَفًا. When I say the latter would be worse than the previous, I'm not referring that economically or socially or financially. I'm saying your scholars will move on and they will pass away. And every giant will take with him a chunk of knowledge and the entire earth won't able to produce or substitute that scholar. And today we see this has happened in the world. So, Shawliyullah Muhaddith Dahlawi, I was reading some of his write-up and I was just blown away by this here. He says, اعلم أن الفتن على أقسام. There are many types of fitna that would grip the world. منها فتنة الرجل في أهله وماله. The first type of fitna that would grip a person, seize a person, is fitna in his personal capacity. بأن يقسو قلبه. The effect of that is his heart will become hard. Now my brothers, you see the carnage that is happening in the world. So much is happening and I cannot tear. I'm not sure if that tragedy is so severe or the fact that I cannot tear is worse than that. When Sayyidina Uthman was brutally assassinated, Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, Abu Humayd al-Sa'idi, who was a veteran of Badr, he said, oh my Lord, I never thought I would live to see this. There are many prophecies I have read in the hadith and I read when I studied. I never thought I would be the unfortunate victim of that era. But lo and behold, it has unfolded before us. Allahumma inna laka alayya alla af'al wala af'al wala adhaku hatta alqaak. Oh my Allah, I had to see such a painful day that a man like Uthman was assassinated. I vow to you, my Allah, I will never laugh, smile or chuckle till the day I die. This is when the heart was soft, when it was receptive. Fitnatul Rajuli, the second one, I'm just going to briefly run time, we don't have the luxury of time. Fitnatul Rajuli, fi ahlihi wa malihi wa waladihi. Then would be the second fitna that would seize and grip a man in his family structure. وَهِيَ فَسَادُ تَدْبِيرِ الْمَنْزِلِ. There will be mayhem in the social structure. There will be chaos in his family life. Imam Bayhaqi records the hadith on the strength of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ. A time would grip mankind. يَكُونُ هَلَاكُ الرَّجُلِ. A man will lose his faith and iman because of his partner and his children and his family. O Nabi of Allah, but they are the most beloved to us. يُعَيِّرُونَهُ بِالْفَقْرِ وَيُكَلِّفُونَهُ مَا لَا يُطِيقُ. How, O Nabi of Allah, his family and his kids will put such financial burdens upon him, which will be beyond his economic muscle. They would make it clear to him, either you deliver and you stay in this house, make or break, do or die. And if you don't deliver, don't consider yourself to be the father or the husband of this house. فَيَدْخُلُ مَدَاخِلَ الَّتِي يَذْهَبُ فِيهَا دِينُهُ. A brother said to me, I took my family on a holiday, so I thought I'll treat my young boy to a business class flight. He said, now we sit in economy and he sits in business. He would resort to avenues to generate that revenue, to appease his family, which would be illegitimate, illicit, impermissible and unlawful. In doing so, his faith will leave him and he will abandon his iman. Minha fitna, Shawliyullah writes, then will come the fitna, tamuju ka mawjil bahri, which will rage and roar like the rough waters and the tides in the oceans. Imam Bukhari and Muslim record the hadith. Shaqiq rahmatullah alayhi says, we heard it from Huzaifa ibn Yaman. Huzaifa ibn Yaman says, we were sitting with Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. He said, ayyukum yahfadhu haditha rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil fitna. Any one of you has a clue regarding the fitna that the Nabi of Allah predicted and prophesized that would happen? So Huzaifa ibn Yaman said, ana ahfadh, I know very well. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ahati innaka lajari. Okay, give it to us, share it with us, you're very brave. The scholars of hadith have debated, was this a criticism being leveled or was this a praise that was being conferred on him? But it's academic and we don't want to go into that. Hati innaka lajari. Oh, that's very brave of you, nobody else recalls but you. Or the other side, flip the coin, is mashallah, after all your intelligence was phenomenal and who else could be but you? I was saying to someone, people who don't understand the World Cup or don't understand football, I'm talking about myself maybe, but anybody else, you'll find a man who will brainstorm and he will apply himself to try and understand the depths and the intricacies and how it happens. Break your head and try and understand one ayah of the Quran. Break your head, even if you don't, وَهُوَ يَتَتَعْتَعْ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Even if you grapple and battle, but it is time well spent. So Sayyidina Huzaifa said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fitnatul rajuli fi ahlihi wa malihi wa waladihi wa jarihi, yukaffiruha as-siyamu wa salatu wa sadaqatu wal amru bil ma'rufi wal nahyu anil munkar. That a man would be gripped by fitna in his family, his neighborhood, his children, his wealth, and the only atonement and expiation of those offenses would be by offering prayer, by observing fast, by inviting towards good and forbidding from evil. Sayyidina Umar said the hadith of Bukhari, Laysa hadha urid. No, you didn't understand me. I'm not referring to this. Innama uridu allati tamuju kamawjil bahr. I'm referring to those fitnas that will rock the planet. I'm referring to those fitnas that would grip and seize the entire earth. So Huzaifa ibn Yaman said, Laysa alayk ma laka walaha ya amir al-mu'mineen. Surely you are spot on that the Nabi of Allah prophesies those fitnas. But Umar, what have you to worry about those fitnas? That's got nothing to do with you. بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهَا بَابًا مُغْلَقًا. There is a partition, there is a barrier, there is a door, there is something shielding you and that fitna. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, يُكْسَرُ الْبَابَ مْ يُفْتَحْ. Are we looking like this door going to be open one day, or will it be shattered and dropped? So Huzaifa ibn Yaman said, unfortunately, yuksar, it will be broken. So Umar radiallahu anhu replied, ذَاكَ أَحْرَىٰ أَلَّا يُغْلَقْ. Then I doubt this door would ever be repaired. So Shaqiq said, we asked Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, أَكَانَ عُمَرْ يَعْلَمُ مَنِ الْبَابِ. Did Sayyidina Umar have any clue who was referred to in this door? He said, yes. يَعْلَمْ كَمَا أَنَّ دُونَ غَدٍ لَيْلًا. Just as he knew that every day is preceded by a night, with the equal conviction he knew who was referenced to in this door. But we were not sure, so we asked Masruq Muhaddith to ask Huzaifa man al-bab. He said the door was Sayyidina Umar himself. The door was, there's a hadith I was reading in Fathul Bari. Someone came and told Khalid radiallahu anhu that the fitnas have come out. He said, fitna wabnul khattabi hayyun? No, my brother, you want to go back to the drawing board. Those fitnas can't rock the planet while Umar is alive. And then we live in an era that people despise this giant Umar.